You know, was it night before last, Brother Taylor, the Lord visited me last night? Night before last. We had an unusual visitation from the Lord Jesus night before last. Like the days has gone by so fast, I can't keep up no more. But anyway, we had an unusual visitation. The Lord Jesus come into my room. Let's see, the night, it was on Wednesday night. That's when it was. Because I remember preaching a message here that was pretty straight Wednesday night. And I went home, and I was tired, and I lay down. And I thought, well, I'll just go right off to sleep. But I said, Lord, I said, speak to me. I said, tell me something about my condition. I want to know about my condition, too. I said, tell me something about my condition. Lord, where I'm standing. And Lord, how are you going to work with me? What's going to happen? Now, the Bible said Daniel prepared his heart to seek God to find out in the latter times what would happen to his people. And I said, Lord, tell me what's going to happen to our people. And the Lord came into my room. I thought that he would let me go off to sleep and speak to him in a night vision. But he didn't do that. My sleep went from me. I couldn't sleep. I just couldn't sleep. I was just wide awake as though I'd been sleeping for weeks. And I laid there, and the Lord came into my room and began to talk with me. And he tarried. He didn't just come in and go back out, but he tarried. And he talked with me, and that went on for a good long while. And I thought maybe the presence of God was going to leave, you know. In a time or two, I got up and went into the kitchen. I come back, and the presence of the Lord came back again. So then I said, Lord, I said, what is it? What are you trying to tell me? Is something wrong? Or what is it that you're trying to say to me? Sometimes I'm pretty dull of hearing. But anyway, finally it come to me, get up out of the bed and go into the living room. And I thought, well, Lord, if I go in there and get down on my knees and pray, which I have in the past, you know, I'd get up in the middle of the night, and I'm sure every one of you have, and go pray. And I said, Lord, if I do that, I said, I couldn't feel your presence any stronger than I already feel it. If I got down on my knees, all I would do is just be in reverence to you. And I thought, well, that's not what you want me to do. And then when I got into the living room, I looked, and the white Bible was laying on that little table that Brother Jiminy bought us. And it said to me, he said, unveil that Bible, that cornerstone. Well, I remembered that the Bible is called the cornerstone. Because I come here on Easter morning and I was dressed in white. Most of you remember it. All the way from my skin out, I was dressed in white. I left from here, my wife was dressed in white. We went outside and got in that white car that come from Lamb and Wayless. And when I got into that white car after we left here on that Easter or Resurrection morning, in its symbol, here come my son George Jr. and hand me this cornerstone Bible. And I'd taken it down there, and Betty didn't want it unveiled. We had had one that was a crusade Bible, and we had not used it much. But it had been unveiled, and Betty didn't want this unveiled because of the dust. So something said to me, unveil the Bible. I thought, well, Betty don't want the Bible unveiled. But it come to me to unveil the Bible anyway, no matter what Betty wanted. So I unveiled the Bible, and when I did, I opened it, and I read. And in it, I read, and it said, I will make an end of afflictions. And I began to read in that, and then I went back, and I lay down on my bed, and the presence of the Lord still tarried. And then all of a sudden, I become real heavy with sleep and begin to yawn, and I went off into sleep. And then I went off into sleep. I had a night vision that I had written a song, and the song was a great hit around the nation. It was a great hit. And artists, great movie stars and artists, was recording it and had come to me to talk with me about the song because it was such a great song. As a matter of fact, last night in a vision, the Lord gave me a song. Or last night, yeah, that's right, in a vision last night, he gave me a song. I was telling Brother Taylor about it today. But this song that I had written, I felt like that it had to do with the songs of Solomon. And that's what come to me when we come out of it. But this song was a great song. Then during this vision, I won't relate all of it. There's some things that it take a little time to explain. But during this vision, I passed through a bunch of wasps. There was big, fierce-looking wasps. And I knew that they could sting you to death. But I passed through them. I had on my white overcoat and I passed through them. And they got all inside of my coat and all over me. And it looked like that they would sting me to death. But you know, I passed through every one of them in the vision. And I got one sting. One was under the right sleeve of my coat. And I couldn't get him out. And that was the only one that stung me. Then it didn't give me any trouble. And then I thought about this arm that I got cut the other day. And after that I awoke, I went into the kitchen and asked Brother Tilden. He had come in that morning. I asked him to go get the Bible. He went and got the Cornerstone Bible. And I sat down and began to read to Brother Jim and one or two others. And I turned just open to the book of Deuteronomy where the Lord was telling Israel. He said, I've led you through this great wilderness to humble your hearts. To humble your hearts. Said, I've never let your feet swell. Your raiment never waxed old. Said, I've fed you. And I've led you through this great wilderness in all of these afflictions, he said, to humble your heart. The Bible tells us that we learn obedience for the things we suffer. And he said, this was to humble your heart. Said, now, I'm going to bring you into a great land. And said, in this great land, when I have blessed you with health, blessed you with all the blessings of life, and multiplied your silver and your gold, he said, beware. Beware lest you turn and serve other gods. He said, I'm bringing you into this great land. Not because you are a righteous people. He said, for you have been a rebellious people from the beginning. He said, but because the nations before you have been so wicked that he couldn't stand them anymore, and I'm driving them out, and I'm going to give you their land. And it was positive proof that Israel later on wasn't righteous because God had to drive them out into Babylon, which of course is going to be the result of the world when God brings them into the tribulation and in under the regime of Antichrist, into Babylonian captivity. It's coming to pass. But these things the Lord spoke to my heart and showed me the other night. And there is such a great chain of reaction. I was talking to Brother Lonnie and some of them in the garage last night while he was working on the motor and linking a number of things together with this. And it's such a great revelation. It just reaches all the way from Genesis to the book of Revelation and just keeps on unraveling and tying itself together in such a great expanding thing until it reaches to heaven and it reaches to hell and it reaches to the end of the eternities from everlasting to everlasting. There's no end to it. But it's clear to where you can see it and understand what God's saying and what God's doing. And folks, we're at the end of the world. Like Brother Charlie said, we are at the end of the world. Whether you believe it or not, we are at the end of the world. Brother John Carnes the other night had a vision. And in the vision, I mentioned it here the other night, in this vision, he said he saw this work go forth within a month. And at that time, the judgment hit the Gentiles. And already, it's been about a month, and that big thing happened over here in Iran. About 9,000 people was missing over there. And the papers I read, it said it was like the end of the world. And then the paper said it was like the day of judgment. Said whole villages just went out. See, things are happening. The Bible said as he sat upon the Mount of Olives and he taught his disciples saying, take heed that no man deceive you. He said, for in that day many shall come in my name saying, I'm Christ. And lo, here he is and all. He said, but don't believe this. He said, there'll be wars and rumors of war. There'll be pestilence and nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, just like the Negroes and white. Just like Russia and China and all the nations rising up. And he said, these things will happen. He said, but the end is not yet. But then he went on to tell them when the end would be. And he said, then shall you see the Son of Man coming in great power and great glory, he said. Then shall all the nations of the earth weep and mourn, Jesus said. And it's coming, folks. It's near at hand. Brother Floyd had a night vision night before last, and he said it was a short night vision. Said he and I was together. We went over to some place, and I went into an office there for something, and he sat down outside. And said while he was sitting down, said he picked up a paper and said he read across the paper and it said, the battle of Armageddon is coming soon. I tell you, things is happening. Things is happening. Little Joseph Pike last night had a night vision. And in this night vision, he said he saw a great building set on fire and saw the angels come down from heaven and pick up people and throw them into a lake of fire. And did you know what? It was a number of you people. I said, he named some that he saw the angel throw into the lake of fire. And it was some of you people. It was a number of you people. He said, he saw the angels pick you up and throw you into the lake of fire. I tell you, it's time to wake up, folks. It's time to wake up. I know you don't want to go to hell. I don't want to go to hell either. And the glorious part about it is we don't have to go to hell. A man doesn't go to hell because God sends him to hell. He goes to hell because he wants to go to hell. That is to say, not because he wants to as far as the torch and torment, but he wants to in the sense he'd rather love darkness and light and have the things of this world because his deeds are evil. You make your choice. He said, choose ye this day whom you'll serve, a blessing or a curse, God or mammon. Now then, I'd like to say this tonight, that we all agree that everything is at an end. But I would love to make mention that we have everything set up to finish the building. I made mention of it Wednesday night. Everything is set up to finish the building. God is so blessed to where everything can be put in, all the septic tanks for the parsonage and for the church and all the doors and all the glass and all the carpet and everything we need. Just put it in, all the lights and everything. It's going to be lovely when we get it finished. Now, God has done his part. There's nothing that can keep us from finishing it except the slothfulness of the brethren. That's all. If the brethren won't be slothful, God has supplied all the needs. We've took one step at a time, and it's run into tens of thousands of dollars. But by faith, one step at a time, and we've not slowed down, we've not stopped. Only if God said stop. And every time, God has miraculously, unbelievably met it. And he's still doing it. Now, not only has he done it, but he's met all your needs too, according to his riches and glory. Every one of us, our cup has run over. God has blessed us. Now, so then we are ready to finish it up. And I pray and trust that the brethren won't let me down in this. That for this next 3 months, and it shouldn't take us that long, but at least 3 months, that we'll get in here and really move for God without sparing our bodies or health or anything, just for Christ's sake, to see this thing put over. And then we'll be ready to go for God. Lonnie's almost got the red bus ready to roll. That means that we've got to sand it down, and the ladies has got to do a little finishing on the inside, and it'll be ready to go. We want it to look nice and new when it goes out. Everything is ready to go. Now, the tractor and trailer is in shape to go. We've got a couple of trucks that's in shape to go. We've got the big Greyhound bus that's in shape to go. And then the red bus will be in shape to go. The only four vehicles we got that's not ready is the one, the Lincoln that I bought from Sam. And I didn't have any intentions of fixing it. I just pulled it out of the way out there. And then the one Floyd gave us, I was going to pull it over here out of the way too. We only have two. And that's the truck. The Dodge truck and the yellow bus, and they can be fixing them while we go on with Jesus. The tent will be ready the last of May, and we can continue on for God. My, I tell you, it's wonderful. And God's working everything out to where there won't be a great load on the brethren. We'll have hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of equipment, and we still won't be under a load. We'll just have a reasonable thing to meet month after month as we go on for God. I was speaking to Brother Taylor about it, and it's beautifully systemized. Is that right, Brother Taylor? God has beautifully worked it out, and we can, if we so desire, do something for God. You believe that? All right. I'm going to see how many of you will stand with me in what we're trying to do. Don't let me down now, because if you let me down, then you've let God down. Not because I'm God, but because you do it to the least of them, you do it to Christ. And don't let us down. We've got a lot to be done. Brother Atlee has almost got both bathrooms and the parsonage finished. It was a terrific amount of work to be done in those bathrooms, but he's got it in, and probably tomorrow it looked to me like that he'd be finished up with his work as far as having the piping and things in. And Brother Jim and the others, Brother Stevie and Brother Gerald, some of them's already got one of the bathrooms in as far as the tile and so forth. And I guess Brother Jim's planning as quick as he can get to it to go ahead and put the other one in. Now, I praise the Lord for that. Brother Zell has already started the electrical work in here. And he got the piping and stuff here to where he can go right along with the electrical work here. And so many other things are just about at hand to do. Now, I think we're going to have to get the air conditioning in pretty quick if we intend to stay cool in here the way this felt up here this evening when I come in. But I want you to work with me now because our whole plans is changing. Like I said, in the vision the other night, I had been a businessman. And all of a sudden, it changed, and I became a prophet. And I was saying, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. And things was coming to pass immediately when I said, thus saith the Lord. Even people lost their life in the vision as I said, thus saith the Lord. One man, I said, within 3 minutes, you'll be dead. Thus saith the Lord. And he fell dead in 3 minutes. So, see, this to me means that the spiritual moving of God is fixing to make a change. It's fixing to make a change. Whereas we've been in a business move to try to get the natural side of it so God could use this. Now he's fixing to start, Brother Charlie, the spiritual side. And you, brethren, are fixing to move out with a thus saith the Lord. And I believe this message is thus saith the Lord. I believe that. And we're fixing to move out with it, all of you. And if we want to do something for God, well, we can do something for God. But we're going to have to link ourselves together. Now, I know some of you is about to jump the gun. I've talked to one or two of you, and you just can't hardly hold still. You're just about to jump the gun. But let me tell you, when they line the horses up in a race, if a man jumps the gun, he loses a race to begin with. Now, Paul said it's not everyone that runs in the race that wins the race, but he that runneth according to the rules. And this is the rule book. So, let's don't jump the gun. Now, if you want to preach, well, that's all right. If you want to testify, it's all right. If you want to go do something for God, it's been that way from the beginning. Nobody's been bound. Nobody's been salaried. Nobody's been told to stay. We only ask you that while you are here, as you come in and out, try to live according to the rules. That's all we ask you to do. And we don't have any rules except the rule book. That's the Word of God. So let's all work together and see what we can do for the Lord Jesus. I think I'm going to talk with you a few minutes tonight. I really had in mind to get somebody else to minister tonight. But I kind of feel like maybe the Lord wants me to say a few words tonight, just exhort you a little bit. Brother Charlie, as far as preaching, has already preached a good sermon. A lot of times, you know, we think it's got to be so long, but a lot of times God would just send a prophet through and he'd just say, thus saith the Lord, and be on his way, and that was the message. So who knows but what God sent Brother Charlie up here to say, thus saith the Lord, and that might be the message for tonight. You don't ever know. Praise God. I'll tell you one thing, I felt God in it. I don't know whether you did or not, but I felt God in it. I tell you, Brother Zell, I've been checking up, amen. For a number of years, I've been checking up, Brother Taylor. And I'm still checking up more and more every day. I not only want to watch my deeds, I don't want to just do that, but I want to watch my thoughts. I want God to forgive me for the thoughts and the intents of my heart, and the impulse of the intent, and the reflect of the impulse. I don't want nothing in my life. I want to be clean before God in every way. I want every reflect of my senses, and every reflect of my body, and every impulse of my heart and my being to be clean, and to be pure, and to be upright, and to please God in every manner. I don't want anything unlike Jesus. Hallelujah. Many times in my life, I prayed, dear God, forgive me for the intent of my heart. Lord, that is to say what I might have intended to do, or what impulsively might have come on my heart in a way of an intent. And I said, Lord, forgive me for the impulses of my body. Lord, forgive me for the reflex of my mind. Anything, Lord, that might be unlike Jesus Christ. Don't let anything live at all in my mind, my thoughts, in my actions, or any way against man or against God. Paul said, I strive always to keep my conscience void of offense toward man and God. Now, I'd like to read just a little bit. And I want to tie two or three scriptures together if I can. In the book 1 Corinthians, if you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to read with me. The 18th verse, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greek seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jew and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. In the second chapter of 1 Corinthians, he says here, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the prince of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. In the 26th verse, of the 16th chapter in the book of Romans, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Praise God. Now, I'd like to, just for a few minutes, I'd like to talk with you along the thoughts, the obedience. The Bible said here, for the obedience to the faith. I'd get up and I'd think, well, Lord, what am I going to say? I've got to say something. And then after God gave me the revelation of Jesus Christ, since then when I get up, I don't wonder what I'm going to say. But most of the time, I wonder how I'm going to have enough time to say what I've got to say. Because my heart is filled up and my cup is running over. And even though a lot of times I think, well, Lord, what's the best way to say it? How can I best present it to the people to where they might receive it? Because we've gotten into a day of formality and ritualistic practices to where we think things have to be done in a certain manner. Where a man can't come along, maybe, like Brother Charlie did, and just with a few words exhort us and leave the Word of God with us and make us to know that Christ is in it. But we feel we've got to go through a ritualistic practice. We've got to have a song service, and we've got to have the offering, and then we've got to have this and that, and the man, he's got to hold his mouth a certain way, and he's got to have on a tie when he goes to preaching. He's got to have shiny shoes, and when he comes out before us, he's got to say things just exactly right. If he doesn't do that, well, we won't receive it, because that's the way of the world. That's the way of the Gentiles. God said this is foolishness. That's right. He said this is foolishness. Back there when the great leaders of the Jews would come into the sanctuaries or come into the synagogues, and they stand up real stately like, and they begin to talk about Christ or talk about God, the Lord Moses. And they begin to tell the people, and with their forms and rituals and practices, all of this was, when Christ came, he was against all of this. He was contrary to it. Here they would come out and they would open the scrolls and would gracefully read it. And then when Jesus came along, he didn't do any of that. When he come along, maybe he would get out on a hillside somewhere and sat down on a rock. Now, how indecent that was according to their ritualistic practices. A common feller coming along like a beggar. He wasn't dressed in his long robe. He didn't care about the salutations and the greetings in the marketplace. But he'd come along in a simple apparel and would get out on a hillside somewhere, and there he would just sit down. That's all he would do. And then he would call the people unto them, and he began to expound the word of God and tell them, thus saith the Lord. That's the way he would do it. Simple and plain. Didn't have no formality. Didn't have no ritualistic practices. A lot of times there never was a song service. Sometimes, or most of the time, nobody ever sang a song. But they just come together and they begin to love the Lord and begin to worship God. This was out of the ordinary. Maybe we walk along the Sea of Galilee, and down by the Sea of Galilee it finds a fisherman. And there he'd get somebody to let him use the boat and climb over in the boat and push out from the shore. And here as he would get out from the shore, while he just sat there in the boat and say, "The Lord said." And thus saith the Lord, he would say. And there was a certain man, he would say. And a certain man planted a certain field. A certain man built barns and gathered in much. And all he would do was just give them some parables and expound the word of God. But the wisdom of Christ was so great and so mighty that when the people begin to gather around him and get in close to him, they'd say, "Where did he get this kind of wisdom? Where does this knowledge come from?" They said, "Never man spake like this man, for his words are different. His words are penetrating. His words are piercing. His words divide asunder the spirit from the soul and divide the marrow from the bones. It's penetrating." And the Bible said on many occasions, it said, "And they were cut to their hearts when he spake." He preached the word, and he was so different. When a man was wrong and a man was doing wrong, he never greeted him and shook hands with him and said, "Good morning, sir, how are you?" When they'd come to him, he never let their malice be hid and their evil be hid. He never went along with them like you take two or three preachers today. Why, they'll just go right along together. They'll drink coffee together. They'll travel around together. They'll buddy around together when one of them knows that the other one's rotten. But Jesus never did that. When a man come up to him, he'd walk up to him and he'd say something to him. Jesus look him right straight in the eye. He'd say, "Why tempt thou me, you hypocrite?" That's what we need. "Why tempt thou me, you hypocrite?" In other words, God would look at him and he would just right to his face, he would reprove him. This helped the man to get his bearings. This is what we need to do, folks. We need to rebuke the person that's walking in sin. The Bible said, "Don't so much as eat with him." If you know a brother's walking in sin and you know he's committing adultery, or you know he's a fornicator or an abuser of himself with mankind, the Bible said, "Don't so much as eat with a person like that." Don't even sit down at the table with him as far as eating with him, because the Bible forbids if he be called a brother. Now, this is the type of man Jesus was. He didn't mind going in with the sinners. He didn't mind sitting down with the Pharisees and with the hypocrites. He didn't mind doing that. He would eat with them. But the thing that he did, he would reprove people to their face. He stood face to face with them and would rebuke them for their iniquity and for their evil. Amen. Christ never allowed sin. And the Bible said that a sinner can't sit in the congregation of the righteous. If you're really preaching the gospel and you're really living right, you're not going to have a bunch of hypocrites that'll stay on the benches, because they're either going to get in the altar or they're either going to get out of the church. Somebody said, "But what if they don't want to leave?" When God gets through setting their fields on fire, they'll say, "I don't want to live on this campground. I don't want to go to that church. I want to go somewhere else." Amen. Because when God gets through, they'll be willing to go somewhere else. They'll be ready to go somewhere else, because God isn't playing. Amen. Jesus was so different. He was so different. He wasn't like the rest of them. He had a different atmosphere about him. He had a different way of doing things. He just wasn't the same as he was in that day. He was so different. Jesus wasn't interested in prestige. Now, the people of that day, they thought to be a Jew. Well, that was really something because it was highly exalted. Because all down through the history of the world, all of the history books would state how that God drove out nations before the Jew. And how that God was with the Jew. And they thought, well, being a Jew, this is something. All the rest of the world is a bunch of dogs. But Jesus wasn't like that. Why, he would leave the Jews, go over here and sit down with the Gentiles and with the Pharisees and with the hypocrites and sit there and eat a meal with them. And when the disciples found him on one occasion, here he stood over here by a well talking to an adulterous woman. A woman here that had 7 husbands. And here Jesus stood talking with her. And they said, what are you doing over here, you being a Jew and having fellowship with a Samaritan, I'm talking to the Gentiles? Wow, this ought not to be, somebody said. But Jesus said, thou more holy than mine. He said, get away from me. When you feel you're more holy than I am, he said, get away from me. Amen. Because he came to save, to seek and to save that which was lost. When they brought the woman to him, and she was caught in the act of adultery, and there she was in the midst of the people, and they condemned her. The law said, stone her. That was the law of Moses. The Jews said, stone her to death, because that's what Moses said do. And we know that Moses talked with God. Jesus said, I'm not here to break the law of Moses. I'm not here to change the ordinance of God. I'm here to fulfill it. He said, but he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Amen. It remains the same today. Now he said to him in the book of Deuteronomy, he said, I'm not taking you into this great inheritance of God because you are a righteous people. He said, I never chose you because you are a righteous people. He said, you're stiff-necked people. You're rebellious people. He said, you're contrary to all the good works. But because the world is so wicked, he said, I can't take it any longer. And I'm driving them out. And because you have made effort to serve me, I'm going to spare you. Not because we're righteous. Jesus was so different because he revealed the heart of mankind. You know what made him different? He was obedient to the faith. He was obedient to the faith of God. He said, I do always the things that I see my Father do. He was obedient to the Word. Faith by the hearing of the Word. And whatever the Word said, he said, for this cause came I into the world, that I might glorify the name of God. And he bore the name of God. And the prophet that spoke of him said, his name shall be called Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Mighty God. And he bore witness to the word. And he fulfilled the words of the prophet. He never went contrary to the word of Moses. A lot of folks say, well, I believe when Jesus came, I believe he broke the law of Moses and went contrary to the law of Moses. But folks, he never went contrary to the law of Moses. You can't find one place where he ever crossed the law of Moses. He never crossed the prophets. He fulfilled every jot and every tittle and told the people, said, every word of God, you've got to have it to live by. Isn't that right? But what he did do was cut across the formalities, cut across the ritualistic practices, cut across the conviction of the people, and cut across tradition and heresies and ideology and all of these things. Jesus went contrary to them. For instance, when he told a man to get up on that Sabbath day, he said, man, I make you whole, get up and carry your bed. And they come over there and they said, who was it that told you to get up from here and carry your bed? He said, the same one that healed me. They said, well, you can't do that on the Sabbath day. Jesus didn't break the law. He said, it's written that you can do good on the Sabbath. Amen. He'd done something good. And then he reproved him. He said, which one of you have got an ox or an ass? On the Sabbath day, he said, don't you take him? Lead him over here to the water hole when he gets thirsty. How much better, Jesus said, is a human being? Amen. You got to believe one thing, that a human being must be a great thing or God wouldn't put up with him. David said, I'm wonderfully made. I believe that a human being is a great thing because if he wasn't a great thing, I don't believe God would put up with him. I really don't. I don't see how God tolerates me. I don't see how God tolerates me. I don't see how God tolerates you, but he does. It's the love of God. Hallelujah. It's the love of God. Now, a lot of time when I feel like I can't tolerate some of you, and I feel like I just can't go any further, then I think about Jesus. I think about Jesus, and I think, well, Lord, if you can, then I can. If you can, Lord, then I can.
And then I think about myself and I say, Lord, this person's been a wretch. They've been nothing less than a wretch. They've been warned, they've been told, but they're still contrary. But then I stop and think, and I think, well, Brother Pike, you've been a wretch too. Amen. If God is bore with you, why can't you bear with your brother? You understand what I'm saying? Now, Jesus was different. He was the most confounding person that ever walked the earth. There was no way to keep up with him. They couldn't understand what he was saying. They knew it was right. They knew it was God. But they still couldn't understand it. The Bible said they couldn't lay hold on his words. For when they thought he was saying one thing, then when they listened, it seemed like he was saying another thing. And then when they listened, it seemed like he was saying another thing. And they didn't know what he was saying. But yet, down in their heart, they knew it was right. Jesus was different. He was obedient to the faith. And I tell you what, we sang the song to be like Jesus. When we come to the place, folks, to where we love this Bible, the Word of God, more than life, we love the Word of God more than anything in the world. When we hunger and when we thirst after the things of God, when we come to this place, then God is going to do something for us. But until we get to the place to where we hunger and where we thirst for the things of God, God isn't going to help us. He can't help us. The Bible said, let everyone that hungereth come. Let everyone that is athirst come. Let whosoever will come and partake of the waters of life freely. He that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. Amen. The Bible said, thy God, even thy God, hath anointed with thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows, because thou hast loved righteousness. I see men a lot of times, they want to do something for God, and I see them stumbling around, and they think, well, why don't God use me? Why don't God do something for me? Why don't God lift me up? And then a lot of times I stop and think, Lord, the reason you don't is because they don't love righteousness. Now, they're like the Jews. I said, they want you to do right. They're like the Jews. They'd like for you to do right, and they're ready to stone you to death if you don't do right. But I'm speaking of loving righteousness when it cuts across them. Amen. When we get to where we love righteousness, when we stand face to face with it, and when we see the sword of God drawn out against us, and we fall down like David did on our knees and say, Lord, whatever you say. Amen. Amen. Like Eli over there, when Eli knew he'd done wrong, and Samuel came and stood face to face with him, Eli said, whatever the Lord said, the word of the Lord is good. Let it so be. Amen. It's got to be that way, folks. It doesn't matter whether it's Brother Pike or whoever it is. We've got to stand, and when the Word of God comes across our pathway, if it's our son, if it's our daughter, if it's our wife, if it's our home, we've got to say, Lord, whatever you want, it's right. I want you to do it. Amen, that's right. Because thou hast loved righteousness. You know when you're right. You know when you're wrong. You know when you're doing something you don't have any business doing. But you just won't come against it. You won't rise up against it. You won't put your foot down against the evil and stand up for right. You don't really love righteousness. You're not really obedient to the faith of Jesus Christ. But when you love righteousness, then the Bible said, with the oil of gladness he will anoint thee above thy fellows. My brother, when you love righteousness, you love everything. You know what? I've often thought about this. I've told God a lot of times, I've said, Lord, I just love the way you do things. I say, sometimes it hurts me, it cuts me to my heart, it makes me feel like I'm going to die and go to hell. I said, but I just love the way you do it. A lot of times when you get disobedient, you're not doing right, you're not obeying the faith, God, he'll just kind of let you dangle over the flames a little bit, and you feel just about like a spider on the end of a web, and you feel like any minute you're going down, and then just about the time you go down like the eagle does, when it runs the little ones out of the nest, and just about the time the little one's going to hit the ground, down swoops the eagle and comes up on it, catches up and bears it up on its wings, and takes it all the way back up. That's the way God does. He'll let us hang over the flames just a little bit. to give us a good shake, to bring us back into reality and get us away from the superficial way of life. And then about that time when we think all hope is gone, He just reached down with a loving hand and pick us back up and then pour out heaven on us, and we feel the joys of the Lord. We think, my God, I could run through a troop. I could do like Samson. I could kill a lion with my bare hands. Amen. Obedient to the faith. The Bible said to be obedient to the faith. The thing I want to do is to love righteousness. I want to love righteousness because that's the way to be obedient to the faith. The Bible said that God imputed faith unto Abraham as righteousness. I have no righteousness tonight of my own. I have no special ability of my own, but I believe in the Word of God. I've got faith in God. I believe in God's Word. I believe that as God has said it, so shall it be. Just exactly the way that He said it. I believe that He'll do it. I believe that He'll do it. That's faith. Hallelujah. I don't question it. I believe it. Just like tonight. I stand here tonight. I need thousands of dollars. I've got to have thousands of dollars. Multiplied thousands of dollars. But God said He would meet it. I don't know just exactly how He'll do it, but He'll do it. Because He said He would do it. Amen. As far as I'm concerned, some of you, I'm not too sure about that. It doesn't make any difference whether you're sure about it or not. He'll still do it. Amen. I've said this a lot of times, and I say it again tonight. Because we do not believe. The Bible said that doesn't make the faith of God of none effect. Because I don't believe it, God will just bypass me, go down to Brother John Jameson's house and perform it in his life. If Brother John doesn't believe it, he'll bypass him and go down and perform it in Brother Gonzalez's life. If Brother Gonzalez doesn't believe it, then he'll bypass Brother Al and go to somebody else and do it. Because he's going to perform his word. The Bible said, can your unbelief make the faith of God of none effect? Then we need to be obedient to the faith. I love the ways of God. I serve God because I love His way. I like the way He does things. I like His standards. I like His standards. I know that sometimes the old flesh, it wants this, and the old flesh, it wants that. And we feel like if we can't have it the way our feelings want it and the way our flesh wants it, we think this is so terrible. Oh, this is horrible. My flesh just lusts it. It just longs. It just desires. But I can't have it my way. So we get temperamental. We get this way. We get lustful. We get jealous. We get envy. We get strife. We get malice. We get covetousness. All because we can't have it our way. But brother, I don't want it my way. The worst thing that could happen to a human being is for God to let that human being go his way. Because the Bible said every man's ways is right in his own eyes. And you think you're right, but the Bible said there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end of that way is the ways of death. And that way that seemeth right unto man is your own way, because He said your own way is right in your eyes. And that's the way that seemeth right, is your own way. But the worst thing that could happen to you is for you to have your own way. I don't want my own way. I want the ways of God. The Bible said His ways are higher above our ways, and His thoughts higher above our thoughts than the heavens is above the earth. His ways. This is the book of His ways here. This is the book of faith. There is no faith outside this book, folks. All this believing about God has called me to preach. If it don't line up with this book, you're not a preacher. Honest believing about you got some kind of supernatural gift or some kind of supernatural ministry or supernatural calling or supernatural leading, or you're some kind of great person, whatever you are, or that's whatever you think you are, it's got to be according to this. If it's not according to this, then you're not there at all. You're deceived. Now, did you know that a person can believe a lie and be damned? How many of you know this Bible? You can believe a lie and be damned. Now you say, what do you mean, Brother Pike? You can believe you're on your way to heaven when you're on your way to hell. I said this the other night. You can believe you're on your way to hell when you're on your way to heaven. You can believe you're called to preach when you're not called to preach. You can believe you're not called to preach when you are called to preach. Somebody said, now, Brother Pike, I don't believe that because that's not Bible. I tell you, it's every word of it's Bible. It's Bible. You can believe lying and be damned. You can believe you're on your way to heaven when you're on your way to hell. That's right. Now you say, Brother Pike, you mean to tell me that I can believe I'm saved when I'm lost? Absolutely. Ah, somebody say, if you believe you're saved, you're saved. No. No. Now you can believe in your head that you're saved and your heart condemn you and you're on your way to hell. You can believe in your head that you're lost and then your heart can condemn you. But the Bible said God is greater than your heart and knoweth all things. He knoweth that you're elect and the blood applies to you. And you're on your way to heaven. Now, like I say, a lot of times God is so great that he gets exceedingly abundantly above all that we're able to ask or even think. See, he gets above our thoughts. It's not what we think about it, it's what he thinks about it. I might think I'm a wretch, but he might think I'm a son of God. You might think I'm a son of God, he might think I'm a wretch. It's what God thinks about it. His thoughts is above my thoughts, high above my thoughts. Amen. I might think my ways please him when he might think my ways don't please him. Look at David. David said, my ways don't please you, but my heart's perfect before you. I said, I don't understand that, God. How can a man's heart be perfect if his ways are wrong? But it can be. Because Paul said, when I would do good, said evil's present with me. And I see a law in the members of my body warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity of the law of sin and death, when I delight after the laws of God within my heart. Oh, he's wonderful. He's wonderful because he knows the answer. I don't know, but he does. Hallelujah. So that I believe in my heart. And that's all I have to do. See, a lot of folks say, well, I got to pray through. That's good. I want you to pray through. But say, I got to pray through. I got to pray till I get in touch with heaven. But the Bible said you don't even know what to ask for. I said, God doesn't leave the praying up to you. He doesn't leave the thinking up to you. You're not to think your own thoughts. The Bible said, lean not to your own understanding. You can't figure it out because God doesn't accept your understanding. It's contrary to the mind of God. You've got to have the mind of the Lord. David said, stir up the pure mind. That's faith. Hallelujah. And it's the same way with prayer. Why, I think I need this and I think I need that. And I pray, God, give me this and God, give me that. But the Bible said, you don't know what you ought to pray for. He said, but the Spirit of God within you maketh intercession with moans and groans that cannot be uttered, searching the mind of the heart. And the Spirit said, for the Spirit of man is the candle of the Lord, searching out the inward parts. And God desired truth in the inward parts, for he looketh on the heart. Now, you know what I think? A lot of times when I feel like I'm a wretch, I feel so miserable and I feel so wretched and I feel like I ain't fit for somebody to take a shotgun and blow my brains out. You know what that is? That's a groaning. That's a groaning. Inside I'm miserable. The songwriter said, do unholy feelings struggle in your breast? Bring your case to Jesus and he'll give you rest. When these things struggle in there, struggle on the inside of me, wrestle with me on the inside, then it's groanings and moans. It's calling to God. It's crying out to God. It's asking God to come and give deliverance. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death, he said. He said, for on the inside I hunger for God. I thirst for God. I love his ways. I want to be like him. He said, but my body is wretched and vile. My flesh is weak. Even Jesus testified that the flesh was weak. Is that true? He testified it. He felt the infirmities of the weak. He bore them in his body. A man of sorrow, acquainted with grief. You know, not only that, but you take Paul the apostle, the one that preached the joy and peace. He said, serving God is joy. He said, serving God is peace and righteousness of the Holy Ghost. And then he turned right around and he said, I bear you witness that in my heart there is continual sorrow. I say, Lord, it's too deep for me. I don't understand it. It's over my head. He preached for me to have joy and peace. And now he tells me he's in continual sorrow. I say, I can't figure it out. Oh, but there's an answer. And it's right. It's right. Brother Taylor, a lot of times, sang this little course with the children. Jesus knows the way through the wilderness. All you have to do is follow. I wonder if somebody catch my little Danny right there. Raph, would you catch him, please? Hallelujah.
He knows the way through the wilderness. All you have to do is follow. Jesus knows the way through the wilderness. All you have to do is follow. Follow Jesus every day, all the way. I'll follow Him. Follow Jesus. I'll follow Him.
Beloved Lord, I wonder if we all could gather around the altar just for a few minutes before we dismiss tonight. I know that some of you are sick in body. And I know that you need a divine touch tonight. I realize that. And I know that God has strength for us. He loves us. He wants to heal us. He wants to save us and forgive us our sins. Hallelujah. Let's sing the little chorus, "Oh, How I Love Jesus." Oh, how I love Jesus. You to be just exactly what you are. Paul said, "I am what I am by the grace of God." And he wants us to be original. He wants to be us to be whatever we are. That's the only way we can have faith. If we get superficial, we can't have faith. But if we be what we are, then we can have faith in God. Jesus was simple. Jesus was plain. Jesus was just what He was. And that's what I want to be. Hallelujah. You love the Lord? Praise God. Whatever you are, you're special to God. You don't have to be somebody else to be special to God. Amen. Because you're special to God. He made you like that. And because He made you like that, well, you're special to Him. That's why He made everybody different. So everybody could be special. If He made us all look alike, well, we wouldn't be special because everybody look alike. But every one of us looks different. That makes us special to Him. Hallelujah. You see the man in the movies, you know, when you was a boy, I know you've seen him. You see the man, he was the hero because he was the special one. But with God, everybody's special. Hallelujah. You're the hero of your life. Somebody said, "Brother Pike, I don't believe I'm as good as the other fellow." The Bible said you're the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Members in particular, who's better than the body of Christ? Like somebody said one time, "I want to be Elijah. I want to be Moses." Somebody said, "We're talking about them being the Hebrew children." I tell you, I want to be what I am, because I am what I am to the grace of God, and I am a member of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which makes me a son of God. Elijah never had that privilege. John the Baptist never had that privilege. That's why the Bible said, "He that is least in the kingdom is greater than John." For the Bible said, "Among men there is none greater than John." But He said, "He that's in the kingdom is a son of God." That makes a difference. You love the Lord? Oh, let us praise Him. Praise Him. Praise Him in the morning. Praise Him at the time. Praise Him. When the sun rolls down, God God wants us to be original, folks. The only thing that he wants us to try to be like in another man's life is the measure of Christ that we see in that man's life. If we see something good in one of our children, we'd like for the other child to pattern his life after that goodness. Not that he should be what this one is. We'd like him to be who he is. But we'd like for him to do right. To do right. Oh, sometimes I feel like heaven's come down. Heaven's come down. Heaven's come down. Oh, sometimes I feel